Good morning. You know, Kevin's one of our elders here, and I see why, right? You know, there's the difference between an experience and truth, and that was truth given. And I'm so honored and thrilled and excited that we have elders here who love truth and just get it in the right context of everything. So thank you so much, Kevin, for that. That was wonderful. So this morning, a very simple message, but yet very profound, and I hope you find it encouraging. So let's pray and just ask God to bless it. Father, thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that we can come before you and remember you like we were there. I can understand that. I can remember that. I felt like I was in a burning house and somebody hollered at me and told me to come out. It's burning down, and I came out and I saw the flames and I was okay with you. And I just, it's amazing that there was the courage of somebody to do such a thing. I thank you for that. But Lord, I pray now that as we look to your word, we would remember it as if we were there with you. We thank you for Paul. We thank you for his life, that he lived as an example for us. And as we look to these truths today, Lord, help us to evaluate our life and do the same thing, that glory and honor can be given to you. So it's with great anticipation we look to your word now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Philippians. We've been going through Philippians. And this morning I want to talk about what a mature Christian believer looks like. I think it's difficult but necessary, because I think today we have a lot of wolves knocking at the door of the church. I think there's just a lot of wolves out there, and there's more and more deception and lies coming, and I think it's important for us to have that understanding, to realize what a mature believer looks like, because there are so many people saying they're Christians and they really have the truth when they really don't. So there's a lot of wolves out there knocking on the doors today, and it's important to understand that. And I can tell you in my research, as you have probably seen too, there's a lot of people that are interested more in the experience, and you hear that today, especially in the younger generation. They're after an experience of life. They just want to experience life, and truth doesn't really have a whole lot of relevance anymore to a lot of them. If we can make the experience good, that's better. And I've actually had pastors tell me, if you just make the experience good, make it fun and exciting and happy, that's all that people need. And I said, well, what about the truth? And they said, well, the truth isn't really all that relevant anymore. It's not really necessary. So I think you have that in a lot of confusion to the maturity of what is a believer today. And it's almost like anything goes. It's really crazy out there. And so there really isn't a whole lot of truth given to that level of what maturity looks like and what a Christian really looks like. You know what's interesting to me in the Old Testament? Do you know the very religious system that God put in place is the very system that they used to kill him? Now think about that for a minute. The very system that God put in place, the religious system that God put in place in the Old Testament, is the very system that the people used to kill Christ. They crucified him with it. And I think today, in our Christian culture today, we're sort of doing the same thing today. The very system that Christ came, he died, he shed his blood for us to have a hope in him. The very system is, that there's a lot of people out there using it to kill Christ today. It's the same thing. And so we have this void of what really is a Christian. And anymore today, you can have people that say that they can live whatever life they want and they're a Christian. And I challenge that because I care about them. The people are living in a burning house. I want to warn them, right? I want to tell them. And I say this to them. I said, if Christ is in you, he says, in Christ, you're a new being. You're a new creation, you're a new creature. When he says that, he means that, and he puts the Holy Spirit in you, and therefore you have a new mind, a new understanding, a new way of doing things, right? So if the Holy Spirit is in me, for example, I've had a lot of people as of late, especially Christians, tell me that you can be in a homosexual marriage and be a Christian. I'm not busting on homosexuals. I'm telling you the truth here, okay? Now watch this. If the Holy Spirit is in me and I'm a new creation, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. He won't do it. abortion. I'm not busting on abortion. I'm busting on a truth here. I'm telling you a truth. I say it because I care about people. People say that you can be in an abortion kind of setting and not have an indifference to that, when the truth of the matter is, if the Holy Spirit is in you, that's not life. You see, what am I saying? We live in a culture today that the wolves are coming in, and a lot of people like me, pastors, who are sharing messages are leading people astray. And people are dying. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's death. And Paul says there's something about maturity that matters. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, he's not going to contradict God's word. It's going to convict you. And when I have thoughts that are not healthy, good thoughts that are not here, the Holy Spirit says, that's not a good thought. And it convicts me. And yes, I have thoughts at times that are not good. Anybody else? Or am I the only one? Right? We all do it. But you see, the Holy Spirit inside of me, he says, you're to be different. If somebody gets mad and angry at you and you lash out the same way, how's that being different? And why should that matter then? Why should I be different? Why should I live differently? If this is all there is in life and it's over with, why should I do anything at all that says this is worth living for? If this is it. And Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he's helping them to see, listen, maturity matters, and your life matters, and it's important to be different. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. What does a mature believer look like? How do you do that? How do you help people to see it? Well, that's what the text is about today, Philippians 1:20, and let's take a look at that. Four simple little things here, just in a very easy kind of way to explain it. First of all, a mature Christian believer is one who uses your body to magnify Christ. Look at Philippians 1:20. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. That eager expectation has the idea of gazing into the distance with your head stretched out, and your focus is so intense. It's so intense that you see your personal interests for a purpose. And Paul is saying here, this expectation, this part of me understands and grabs hold of the magnitude of that body. That hope, Paul is saying, is it's a benefit to people. It's a benefit. Paul is trying to help us to see the body is an opportunity to magnify Christ. Anybody ever had a magnifying glass when they were a kid? You ever try to catch something on fire? Or was I the only one again? Did it work? Mine always did, man. I would be so patient with that thing. I'd wait until that thing caught on fire. It was burning hard, right? And I could take these little straws. Now, we lived on a farm as I come back. Walmart was our backyard. We didn't have a whole lot. You know, you may do with what you had. Right? And I remember taking that magnifying glass, and I sit out there in the sun, and I throw whatever. I tried grass, I tried weeds, I tried all kinds of crazy things just to see how far I could go to get something to burn. And what I realized as a kid, that magnifying glass was taking a focused energy onto something with such intensity, it would just create a burning sensation. And that's what Paul was saying here. You see, to a lot of people, Christ is this abstract thing that's out there. And what Paul is saying, when I live my life, I want people to use it to magnify, to bring something that they can't see into focus with such intensity that it challenges them. And Paul is saying, Christ isn't on the planet here today, but the Holy Spirit is in me. And if the Holy Spirit is in me and he's powerful and he's doing amazing things and he's such an intense focus that's coming that it can just literally catch something on fire. That's what he's saying. And when you and I live our life in such a way that the Holy Spirit is so infused in our lives and the intensity is there, what he's saying is, I want my life, I want my body, I want that to be used as a magnifying glass for people to see Christ in such a way they never could see him before. Do you know, I had that experience. You talk about getting saved. I remember not being a Christian. And I remember people who were religious telling me about Christian stuff. And it didn't matter. I remember the first youth group I went to as a kid. I wasn't a believer, one of the kids down the neighborhood. And I went to church, and I remember one time with the youth pastor, and it was this crazy, weird party kind of thing, and nothing was said about Jesus and all that kind of stuff. He's just connecting with us. And even in my unsaved state, I knew that there was something wrong with that. And I remember there, after we got married, there was some problems with trying to understand spirituality and all that kind of stuff. And I remember going with my wife a couple times to one of the churches that she had went to when she was a kid to try to figure it out. And two messages later, and talking about the suggestion box and the leaky roof and all that other stuff. And I walk away and I think, why? Why do this? But you know what it was? It was two guys at work that lived it. They lived it, and they had the courage to do it, to show it, and to present it to me. And I thought, that focus, what they did is they brought Christ to focus. They used their lifestyle and their habits and their work ethics and all those things to get me to the point where I saw something different. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, use your body to magnify Christ. There's an eager expectation. Use it. Get focused. The human body is so weak. I mean, there's times I get discouraged. Anybody else get discouraged? Disappointed? Anybody else get disappointed? Frustrated? Anybody else get frustrated? I mean, look at our body. It's so prone to all the stuff around us. It can be so weak. And what Paul is saying is my expectation, my hope is to magnify Christ in that, because it takes away those things and gives you a purpose. It brings things into view. Well, what are the reasons he says he uses his body for others to see Christ? Notice he also says that it's to be full of courage, always in Christ. And he says he just does not want to be ashamed. So the first thing a mature believer says, they understand that their body is to magnify Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Payday's coming, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone who has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only is through fire. What is he saying? What's your motive for what you do? Is the Holy Spirit going to validate those truths inside of you? When I pray, am I praying for the benefit of others? When I read the Word of God, am I reading it to help me be better at loving Christ? When I do the things I do, is it because my motive and my intent is right for the cause of Christ? The Holy Spirit inside of a person helps you. He fights for you. He contends for you. If you're living in sin, he will help you. He will convict you of it. If you're living to please God and want to grow, he will help you. If you have a desire like Paul to say, I want to use my body for his glory and I want it to be used to magnify Christ, then the Holy Spirit will do that. And he will validate in that day of coming, Did you do it for that reason? You know why the Old Testament, why they end up killing Christ? Because the religious people got so big-headed and everything that they became over God. And I think that's what we have a lot of today happening in a lot of our churches. A lot of these pastors are being so big-headed towards things. Their motive isn't really for the benefit of another in their eternal state. Their motive is for themselves. They're going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for it. You need to understand something. When I stand up here, don't you think for a second I don't feel that weight? Don't you think for a second that I don't sit there and know that I'm going to stand before God and give an account for everything I say? I'm not here to win people over. I'm here to tell you the truth because I know the wolves are out there. But I can promise you this, I stand with confidence and courage that when I stand before Christ, I can say, I use my body to glorify you. And I gave people truth. Secondly, a mature believer understands they're committed in life and death. Look at Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How do you live for Christ? Your thoughts. That's living for Christ. Your mind, your actions, your behavior, how you handle the truth. So living for Christ means you take all those components of life and you live for him, and you use those things for him. To live is Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, if the Holy Spirit is in me and Christ is the same and God is the same and the Word of God is the same, then if the Holy Spirit is in me, then me living for Christ, I should have those same things in me that's coming out. And he said, to live is Christ. Why do we live today? Why do you live? If this is it, why do it? But if you live for Christ, you see there's something greater than this. And that's what Paul is saying. He's facing prison. I mean, he's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen. I personally think, this is my opinion, I think Paul, being a Roman citizen, thought that, you know, the Romans are pretty serious-minded to truth. They will understand and eventually get a hold of it that I'm just here for being a Christian, that that's not really breaking the law. There's probably, I think, in his mind, he's thinking he's going to be pardoned or released. You know, maybe he wasn't thinking that. I don't know. But it seems to me that I think him thinking that way as a Roman citizen, they have no really evidence against him, so he's going to be cut loose. But he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What is he saying? My life is to be lived out as a sacrifice. If I live for Christ in this life, that sacrifice for Christ and letting him live through me is very painful and costly. And what Paul is saying is to live for Christ, yes, but to die is gain. What he's saying is that when I die, I know that I'm going to go to heaven. I know I'm going to be in Christ. And all that pain and heartache and struggle and fight to live for Christ to help others see him is over with, and that's a gain. The fight's over. Anybody ever been in a fight and you're over with? Man, it's so nice. I remember one time years ago, we got called to bowling alley. There was a fight. I was military police, and we get a call, and it was not good. It was a big fight. It was a big brawl. It took us almost, 2 hours to contain this thing. I was exhausted when we were done. I mean, it was a fight. And that's what Paul is saying. If you use your body to magnify Christ and you understand the commitment here, living for Christ is hard. And what he's saying is dying is gain. It's a better way because that's it. Look at Romans 14:8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. You belong to the Lord. Living and dying, you belong to the Lord. I think part of the problem we have today with this Christianity, I read an article from a woman who, in her town, she had called for an Uber, and the Uber driver shows up, and she actually recognized this person, and he was the pastor of a fairly large church in her community. And so she was thinking this would be nice. He was doing it as a side thing to just help on the income a little bit and to maybe present his church or whatever. So they got in this discussion. Now, she's a fairly solid believer. And they were talking about church and all that kind of stuff. And he's the one who had said, you just got to make church fun. You don't need truth. You don't need all these things. You just got to make it fun and exciting and entertaining, and people will want to come. And she sit there and says, but what about the truth? And he says, well, truth is relevant anymore. It doesn't matter. If you get the people in the church, they're okay to come to church, they're good with God. And we just can't be busting on people. We can't give them stuff that's going to upset them and frustrate them. And she says, but how are they going to get saved? And he goes, well, that's immaterial. And she goes, this is a large church. You're supposed to be giving truth to people. Didn't get it. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, it's the gain. But the fight is real. The fight is real. In today's culture, we just don't want to hear it. Look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, let me just tell you, that's what keeps me going a lot. When life hits you hard and people are mean to you, and there's some hard people out there, and believe it or not, there's some difficult Christians out there, I can tell you unequivocally, without a doubt, I fall back on this. If Christ forgave me, cannot I forgive them? Doesn't mean I have to let them keep beating on me, but the point is, what he's saying here is, if God loved me to that extent that he died for me, and by the way, he still has taken care of my sin. He still does. I mean, when I wake up, I think of my sinful life, and I try not to have those thoughts and do things that are not sinful, but I know if I do, I have somebody there who can forgive me yet still today, right? And he loved me, and he gave himself for me. And Paul is saying this to them. What he's saying is, if Christ loved me and gave himself for me, then I have to love you and give myself to you for his glory, for his benefit, for his gain. Third mark of a mature believer is they see the future. Philippians 1:22-23, for I am to live in the flesh, that means, and here's what you want to mark down, cross, underline, do what you want, fruitful labor for me. Fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Depart means break camp. It means to move to a different location. Doesn't mean you cease to exist. It just means that I'm ready to go to somewhere new. And Paul is saying here, it would be better for me to depart, move to my new home, my new location, and have a better life. But here's what he's saying is, there's still fruit to be had. If Paul did not understand the more fruit he can gain by living for Christ in this life, why would he do it? And in your life, in my life, as long as we have breath, if we live for Christ, you are gaining yourself fruit in heaven. Again, if this is all there is to life, why do it? Why come to church? Why pray? Why read the Word of God? Why be nice? Why do it? If this is it, why? And Paul is trying to help the Philippians. If this is it, why? If this is it, why? No, what he's saying is, this isn't it. You're going to a new location. There's going to be a day where you'll depart and you'll be there. What's going to happen then? Listen, there's fruit to be had for yourself and for others. Look at John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I want you to think about something for a minute. Think of your family. Husband, wife, children. Think of your family. Think of your coworkers. Think of your extended network of friends. That's it. Just those in your core group of people who you normally are around. Think of this for a minute, okay? Think of living for Christ in front of them for their fruit to grow. Think of that for a minute. Think how hard that is. I'm going to live my life in Christ for me to gain further fruit in heaven, but also for those I know and care about and love to grow in fruit as well. What's so wrong with that? You in Christ, you have no judgment coming to you. It's paid for. That's amazing. And so, because Christ has bestowed his grace upon you and has given you his Holy Spirit, and like Kevin says, if we could go back to that day and remember when he and you met at the cross and your sins were forgiven, and you had this great love and gratitude for what Christ had done for you and the sacrifice that he used his body to glorify the Father and the sacrifice he used to make in forgiving you of your sins for your benefit, for your fruit to be had in heaven. Why can't we do that for other people? You see, the mature believer sees the future. We see the future. And it's way more bigger than this life. Look at 2 Timothy 1:10. And which now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We're eternal beings. You're an eternal person. It's never going to end. But there's fruit to be had here. You serve Christ to the end. Look at this. That's the fourth thing. A mature believer, he serves Christ. Look at Philippians 1, 24-26. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on what? Your account. What is Paul saying here? By me being in the flesh, staying here, it's better for you. I'm doing it for you. I am going to gain fruit, but I'm also doing it for you. So for me to remain in the flesh on your account, convinced of this, what is this? All of the above that we've been talking about, that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul is saying, I live my life for your progress, for your joy in your faith. I'm doing it for you. What if we woke up in the morning as a believer and said, who can I live to help improve their joy and their faith? How amazing would that be? What if I could live my life no matter who I'm around to help them do that? And Paul said there, I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith so that in me you have ample cause, what? To bring glory to God. Your life can be used to bring glory to God. And that's what Paul is telling the Philippians. I don't know, am I going to live or die? I don't know. I think I'm going to live. I'm going to be around for a while. I'm going to come back for your progress. And obviously it didn't work out that way. The marks of a mature believer are so much different today than what they were. And we got wolves knocking at the door. Because Paul said, this is how you should live your life. This is what matters. Don't listen to the wolves. Don't listen to them. You can be like everybody else and be okay with God. No, you can't. No, you can't. What are we saying here? Look at Romans 14, 9. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up, what? The body of Christ. Listen, the world is in disarray. It is it not? Look at what's happening out there. The disrespect, the hatred, the comments in our political world, in the educational system. I mean, even a lot of our churches today. Look at the mess that's out there. And we have become so entitled in our faith. We have become so entitled that we don't see our part. And what Paul is saying is if you base your Christianity and you think your maturity is in Christ based on the world's standard, you're going to miss the boat. Paul is saying your life matters. Maturity matters. And there's fruit to be had. There's fruit to be had. The question this morning is, what are we? What are we? Are we of the mindset of Paul to say, evaluate your life? It'd be easier to die. There's gain to be had because you don't have no more fights, no more battles, no more heartaches, no more struggles. It'd be easier. Or do you see the world in such a disarray that what they need to see is a magnification of Christ? And I'm going to live my body for that purpose, only that purpose alone. You know what that's going to mean, don't you? You're going to be hated. The world is not going to like you. You're going to have turmoil in your relationships. You're going to have fights and battles because you got to give truth. And today, the market in the world of Christianity today is if you say anything at all truthful to somebody, you're a bigot and you've offended them. No, I'm not. I tell you this because you know what I see? I see somebody in a burning house and I want to help them. The takeaway. This morning, your life matters. It matters. Way beyond this life. Second thing is, there's fruit to be had. There's a lot of fruit to be had. You know, I thought for a lot of years I was failing as a Christian because I couldn't get people to believe in Christ. I don't know why that is. I know pastors and other Christians who can evangelize and say hickory dickory dock and people get saved. I can sit there till I'm blue in the face and get nothing, right? But what I've learned is God says, you just be faithful to what I've given you to do, and that's make disciples. Do you see that's fruit? And it took me a while to realize that somebody's getting angry at me and being mean. If I respond in an honorable way, that's fruit. And if somebody's struggling and hurting with something and they're being told lies and the destruction in their heart and their mind is happening and I come down and sit with them and tell them the truth, that's fruit. Right? If I do it because I care about them. So What I'm saying to you this morning is Paul saying, a mature believer, so much needed. What if we were like that? What if we walk out of here today and the very next person we see outside of this room, in our mind, we would say, my body is to magnify Christ, to where I hope they catch on fire. What would that be like? What if we could say, you know what? I see the future. I know what's coming. What if we could say, you know, I'm going to live. I'm committed. Life and death, it doesn't matter. What if we had that kind of a mindset? Do you think it might turn some things around? Maybe not there, but can I tell you this? It will add fruit to you. So let's be fruit bearers this week. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. I don't know who's here and where they're at spiritually, Lord. I don't know where they're at. You do. But Lord, I do know that your truth is there, your Holy Spirit's there, and we have a love for people, and we desire to give them truth so they can be convicted, compelled, be drawn to you, and have great gratitude. Lord, there's so much lies and deception out there, so many people being misled and pulled astray. And Lord, I would pray that you would give us strength and courage to give truth to people, to help them see, Lord, your way is the better way. So I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would be willing to put on their card, I don't know this God you're talking about. My life has been about an experience, not about the truth, and I want to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Have them mark it on their card, Lord. And maybe there's those in here today that are struggling in one of these areas, and their life hasn't been really used to glorify you, that they would change and reevaluate that. Maybe there's somebody here that is struggling with not really understanding that they can help others bear fruit. And Lord, that they can help them, encourage them in that way. So help them to do that. Ultimately, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for dying, shedding your blood, paying for our sins, Lord, bringing us into your family. And then there's that hope and expectation that someday we'll be back with you. So encourage us as we go. Lord, help us to be mindful of what we learned today. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.